This is Ronald Coleman, inviting you to radio's most dramatic half hour, Favorite Story. Student of mankind was Guy de Maupassant, the brilliant French writer, who watched human beings as they walked down cobblestone streets, as they fished along the banks of the Seine, as they fought with their wives, as they gossiped and lied, as they hurt each other and loved each other, as they lived and as they died. We're bringing you one of the best-known de Maupassant stories this week. Radio's famous Dr. Christian, Jean Herschel, picked it as his favorite. Mr. Herschel is, as you know, a pioneer in this town of ours. He's been a screen favorite since 1914, and he is president of the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences and the Motion Picture Relief Fund. Here's his choice, the remarkable adventure of A Piece of String, Act One. To say, the matter has never really been settled and still remains a great mystery. I refer, of course, to the affair of the piece of string. If you happen to be visiting the north of France today, and if you should stop by chance at the little Normandy town of Godeville, you might still hear the affair discussed. The affair of old Mr. Oshkorn and his piece of string. In the tavern by the marketplace in Godeville, where the peasants and the farm people of the countryside gather to take their refreshment of an evening after a hard day's work in the field, here in the tavern, we might learn something about this yet unexplained mystery. You, sir, I wonder if you could tell me something about the piece of string.
No. No, I can tell you nothing about it. The matter is done with, finished. It's all over now. Why talk about poor Mr. Rochecron?
Did I hear someone mention the name of Mr. Oshkorn?
This gentleman was inquiring about... the piece of string.
Oh, that is an interesting matter. Most interesting, and I happen to know from first-hand observation with my own eyes, mind you, that Mr. Oshkorn is guilty.
He is innocent.
Guilty? Guilty of sin.
Valentine, you're a liar, and you gave false evidence against the old man. He's innocent.
I saw him. I saw the whole thing. Old Oshkorn is guilty.
Please, gentlemen, I beg of you, stop. Do not go through this useless argument again. Allow my poor uncle to die in peace. What is done is done.
Well, I've told no lies. Moreover, your Uncle Oshkorn's illness is no doubt caused by a guilty conscience.
Why, you...
No need for that temper. Ask the mayor. The mayor had all the evidence before him. Didn't you, Your Honor?
Yes. I reviewed the evidence.
And what did you conclude, Mr. Mayor?
Mr. Oshkorn has a reputation which is both good and bad. And the evidence against him is in some respects great, and in other respects not so great. Both convincing and unconvincing.
Oh, but Mr. Mayor, what did you conclude?
Conclude? I concluded it was a very perplexing matter.
A man of normal curiosity, as you are no doubt, and I determined to get to the bottom of this matter which caused such sharp disagreement in the village. It seems the affair of the piece of string took place one market day, when all the farmers from the countryside came into Godeville to buy or sell, or merely to pass the time of day with their neighbors. Now, this part of France is not unlike parts of New England, and your well-to-do farmer from Godeville is not unlike some successful down-easters from Maine or New Hampshire. Shrewd, thrifty, hard-working, slow to anger, slow to forgive. Lean men of the soil, with brown, dry, crinkled faces, men with bony knees and elbows, with bright, sharp eyes, and bodies bent and twisted from the strenuous work on the farm. Such a man, I'm told, was Mr. Oshkorn. And on this particular market day, he was trudging into the outskirts of Godeville, his young niece at his side.
Uncle Oshkorn, why must you hurry so? Rest a little, here in the shade.
Are you weary, Seraphine?
Oh, no, of course not. But your rheumatism...
Ah, my rheumatism will not kill me. A man does not die of the rheumatism. Besides, I would sooner die than be seen resting here.
Why, Uncle?
Do you see that house across the way? Oh. With the ugly garden and the moldy thatch and the roof?
Oh, Mr. Mallander's house?
Aye, Mallander, that old horse thief. If he looked out of his window and saw me resting in the shade in front of his house, I'd never hear the end of it. He'd say I was getting old. That's what he'd say.
Well, you are the schoolboy, Uncle Oshkorn.
Well, I'm not old. I can still do my work, even if I do have a touch of rheumatism.
Why do you dislike Mr. Mallander?
I dislike dishonesty. He cheated me once, 11 years ago. Sold me a halter for 15 francs. It wasn't worth five. Now, a man... Oh.
What's the matter, Uncle?
Oh, there's a piece of string lying in the road.
Oh, well, what about it?
Where's the saving spirit in you, child? A piece of string is a piece of string. Long piece, too. If we find it in the road, we don't have to buy it in the store. It's money saved.
Oh, I'll get it, Uncle.
No, I've got it. Yeah, this string is very useful to have. This is a savings, Seraphine. Small savings, to be sure, but never... Oh, he must hide this. Hide it in my pocket.
Oh, why, Uncle Oshkorn, what are you so excited about?
He saw me.
Mr. Mallander?
There he is, standing on his porch, the old rascal. Now he'll tell everybody I'm so poor, I have to pick up string off the street. No, he won't say such a thing. Bend over, child. Look all over the road.
Oh, did you lose something?
Pretend we lost something. Pretend. Let old Mallander think I dropped something and we're looking for it. Then he won't think anything about the piece of string. The nerve of the fellow, asking 1,000 francs for that beast.
Well, that seems to be a good horse, Uncle Oshkorn.
A good horse, that poor animal. Way back 12 years old if he's a day. I would pay 400, 350 at the most for that animal. 1,000 francs indeed.
I don't understand you, Uncle Oshkorn. Of all the times I've come to market with you, I've never seen you buy anything.
Oh, I buy many things, child, with my eyes. Then if it turns out to be a wise investment, I congratulate myself on my judgment. I knew that was a good buy. But if something I bought with my eyes turns out to be a disappointment, I still congratulate myself. Because the money I might have spent on it is still in my pocket.
Uncle Oshkorn, did you ever spend a foolish penny?
Yes. I'm going to do it right now. Seraphine, I'm taking you to the inn to buy you the finest dinner in the house.
Oh, thank you, Uncle. But would you mind if someone else came with us?
Someone else? Well, who, child? Who?
Well, I more or less promised Mr. Levesque that you
Levesque?
Could...
Who's Mr. Levesque?
Well,
don't you remember me, sir? I've called at your house a few times to see Sarah.
Oh, yes, of course. Mr. Levesque. This is the young man you said was so handsome.
Oh, please,
Uncle. Well, he is handsome. You may join us, Mr. Levesque. We'll be happy to have you. But you'll have to pay for your own dinner. That was a good dinner, wasn't it, my children?
Oh, yes, Uncle.
Indeed it was, sir. Almost worth the price they charged for it. Well, Seraphine and I must be getting back to the farm. It's a long walk, you know.
Oh, what's that? Soldiers?
It's probably the town crier.
Well, we must go to the window.
Come. I wonder what...
office or to Mr. Fortune Fulbright of Moundville. there will be 20 francs reward.
Oh, isn't that a pity on me? To lose 500 francs.
I wonder if you'll find it.
Well, I don't know. I don't rightly know. There's a goodly difference between a reward of 20 francs and a pocketbook containing 500.
I'd say the man has an even chance to recover the pocketbook.
Perhaps. I would say his chances were 1 in 3.
Your attention. Your attention, please.
Well, what's this now? Another announcement?
Is there a Mr. Oshkorn here?
What?
Mr. Oshkorn.
Yes, I'm Oshkorn. Here I am.
Mr. Oshkorn, the mayor would like to speak with you.
What? The mayor? Why? Why would the mayor wish to see me?
Oh, Uncle, do not keep the man waiting.
Oh, yes, of course. I'm going. Wait for me here. I will be back presently. Oh, dear me. The mayor.
Mr. Oshkorn?
Yes, Mr. Mayor?
Mr. Oshkorn, you were seen this morning on the road to Bowersville picking up the pocketbook which was lost by Mr. Albrecht.
Me?
I picked up the pocketbook? Yes, you yourself.
Why, on my word of honor, I never heard of such a thing.
But you were seen.
I was seen? Who? Who says he saw me?
Mr. Manlander, the harness maker.
Ah, that old skinflint. What he saw me pick up was...
What did he see you pick up?
I cannot say.
Oh, admit it. You're acting guilty enough.
Your Honor, what I tell you, you must believe, knowing I am a thrifty man.
Yes? What is it?
I am a collector of things. What I picked up in the dust was a piece of string.
You certainly can't expect me to believe that.
But it's true.
Would you try to tell me that Mr. Melendez could mistake a piece of string for a pocketbook?
I swear to you, I never saw the pocketbook.
But after picking it up, you and your niece went on for some time stirring the dirt to see if any piece of money had fallen out.
How can anyone tell such lies?
You deny that you picked up the pocketbook?
I deny it on my sacred honor.
Very well. You may go, Mr. Oshkorn. But I shall take up this matter with the public prosecutor.
All right, this was...
You may go, Mr. Oshkorn.
It was only this piece of string.
Ready for Act Two of Jean Herschel's favorite story, A Piece of String, by Guy de Maupassant. De Maupassant, it has been said, could present a passion or a tragedy in a mere dozen pages. He could reveal, almost in a word, the heart of a human being. See if you agree as we continue our story. Was told to me, Mr. Oshkorn left the mayor's office in a state of confusion. He went back to the inn, where Seraphine and her young friend and a crowd of curious people gathered about him.
What happened to
Uncle Oshkorn? Are you all right? Why did they want to see you?
Why they think I stole the pocketbook.
No.
Who said so?
I say so, because I saw him.
Mr. Melendez.
You don't dare.
I saw you pick it up, then you saw that I saw and you went on looking for any coins that might have fallen out of the pocketbook.
You lie. It was only...
What was it only?
A piece of string, if you must know. Look, here it is.
You old codger, you don't think that we'll believe that, do you?
Well,
Well, ask my niece, my Seraphine. She was with me. She knows all I picked up was a piece of string.
That's all it was. Truly.
What would you expect her to say? She is his niece. She would stick up for him, naturally.
Well, search me. Look, search me. I don't have the pocketbook. I don't have it in my coat or in my pocket. I don't have it. I didn't take it.
You're too clever for that, old man. You hid it somewhere.
I did not hide it. All I picked up was a piece of string. Here, look at it. A piece of string.
Are you so poor, old man, that you must glean from the public highway? You cannot afford to buy a piece of string?
I'm a thrifty man. I don't waste my money, that's all.
But you treat yourself to the best dinner in the house.
Well, I was celebrating with my niece and Mr. Levesque.
Yeah, we know what you were celebrating, too. It isn't every day a man finds a pocketbook with 500 francs. Hey, Oscar?
No, wait. Listen to me. I'm a saving man. I save.
Of course you do. You save pocketbooks.
Other people's pocketbooks.
You don't laugh at me. I am telling the truth. It was a piece of string.
A piece of string.
I'm ill, Seraphine. I do not feel well.
Go to bed, Uncle Oshkorn. Try to get some rest. And forget all this ugly business.
Why should I go to bed? I cannot sleep.
Try not to think about it.
There is the string. Right there, in the palm of my hand. I show it to people, and they laugh at me. They poke me in the ribs and say I'm a clever old codger. Seraphine, what am I going to do? How can I prove to
Uncle Oshkorn?
Yes, my child.
Was it... I mean... It was really...
What are you trying to say?
It really was a piece of string that you picked up. It wasn't a pocketbook, was it? Why?
Oh. Oh. If you do not believe me, Seraphine, who will?
Mr. Oshkorn! Seraphine! Are you awake?
That young Levesque asked him to go away. I do not wish to see anyone.
Good news, good news. The pocketbook has been found.
What?
Oh, Uncle.
Well, let him in, let him in. Why do you stand there like a stuffed goose? Let him in.
Yes, Uncle.
Oh,
is it true?
The pocketbook has been returned to Mr. Ulbricht.
Oh.
Well, how did it happen? Tell us, my boy. Tell us.
Hired man from Imovie. A fellow named Marius Pommel.
What about him?
He found the pocketbook.
Where?
But the fellow can't read, so he turned it over to his employer.
Where?
And the employer returned the pocketbook to the mayor, and the mayor returned it to Mr. Ulbricht.
And now everything's all right.
Yes, but I am proved to be an honest man. It proves, it shows, right does triumph. Honesty does prove itself in the long run, doesn't it?
Of course it does, Mr. Ulbricht.
Where is my hat? Where are my hat and coat, Seraphine? I'm going
out. So late.
I must go out and tell everyone the news that the pocketbook has been found. Now I guess they will believe me. I must tell everyone.
Can it not wait until morning, Uncle? It is cold. And nearly midnight.
Please,
Mr. Oshkorn, wait until morning.
Perhaps you're right. Perhaps. This has been a difficult day. I am tired. But I shall get up first thing in the morning and tell everyone the good news and show them the piece of string.
Mr. Mellinger! I say, Mr. Mellinger, are you at home?
Yes, I'm at home. Who wants me so early in the... Oh, good morning, Mr. Oshkorn.
Oh, good morning, Mr. Miranda.
Find any pocketbooks this morning, Mr. Oshkorn?
No, not this morning or any morning, Mr. Miranda. I gather you haven't heard the news.
What news?
The pocketbook has been found. It was found, I tell you, by a hired man who couldn't read. He returned it to the mayor, and the mayor turned it over to Mr. Ulbricht. Now it is proved that I told the truth, and all you saw me pick up was a piece of string. What is so funny? What are you laughing at? Oh, I'll teach you to laugh at me and tell lies about me. Wait until I tell everyone in Goderville that the pocketbook has been returned. They'll blame you, Melendez. You started the thing. You accused me. All because I stooped over to pick up a piece of string.
A piece of string?
It wouldn't surprise me one bit if they boycott your business. If they run you out of town, you'll see. Gentlemen, I am sorry to interrupt you at mealtime. I am Mr. Osborne, those of you who do not know me. I was accused of taking a pocketbook off the highway last market day, when all I did actually was pick up a piece of string. For those of you who doubt me, here is the piece of string. See? The dust of the road is still on it. And now, to prove I was telling the truth, I am happy to let you know that the pocketbook has been returned to its rightful owner.
What has this to do with us, Mr. Osborne?
Well, I want to vindicate myself. I am innocent. I can prove it now.
Ah, you're a clever old rogue. Why am I a clever rogue?
Come now, old chopper. That's an old trick. We know all about your piece of string.
But the pocketbook was found.
That'll do to tell, Bob. We know better.
One man finds the thing and another man brings it back. No one is any the wiser, so you get out of it.
Not true. I do not even know this hired man named Pomel.
He knows you. Said he did some work for you last harvest time.
And I'll wager he did some work for you a lot more recently than that.
I can't understand why they won't believe me.
Oh, Uncle Oshkorn, do not try so hard to convince people.
But I must convince them.
Eat your soup now while it's hot.
I don't want the soup. Seraphine, what am I to do? What about your young friend, Mr. Levesque? What does he think?
Well, I haven't seen him for a long time, Uncle.
Why not? Aren't you, well, in love with him?
Family won't let him come here to the house of
thief. Did they say that? Thief? Oh dear. I must go talk to them. I must explain all this.
No,
Uncle. Make it all clear to them now.
No, you've made it too clear already.
But they misjudge you. And me, I am no thief. I will go and show them the piece of...
They'll only say it is lying. Lying excuses.
No, not so.
I must worry about it now. You have a fever. Lie down, and rest.
Gentlemen, all of you here. From what I've been able to learn of the story, Mr. Oshkorn has been greatly wronged. And now he is on his deathbed.
Yes, you are right. Let us go ask him for forgiveness. Let him die in peace. Let's all go. You too, Mr. Melendez. Yes. And you too, Mr. Mayor. He's one of us, a villager.
And I believe he picked up the pocketbook.
Then say a lie so that a man may die believing. Come, all of you.
Uncle Oshkorn.
Huh? Who is it?
We are all here, sir, to ask for forgiveness.
Forgiveness?
See? Here is the mayor and Mr. Mallard.
Perhaps I was wrong, Oshkorn.
Wrong? If we have wronged you, forgive us. It was, as you say, a piece of string.
A piece of string. Who would believe such a story? The man Oshkorn obviously picked up a pocketbook. He's a clever old rogue who keeps saying it was a piece of string. A piece of string. Just piece of string.
Guy de Maupassant ends his story of a piece of string. It's a sad story, perhaps, but in it we see a portrait of a real human being. So it's a story that belongs on our library shelves and on this radio half hour. Our congratulations to Herbert Butterfield, who played the unfortunate Mr. Oshkorn, and to all our cast. And we are indebted to Jean Hersholt, who chose A Piece of String as his favorite story. Next week, an adventure into an unknown country, across the top of the world into a strange and mysterious civilization. I am looking forward to playing the leading part in one of H.G. Wells' most celebrated works, chosen for us by Miss Gladys Forsart. It's an exciting story of a remarkable race of men living in a strange valley, and it has a beauty all its own. We hope you'll be listening.